Well, this morning, of all things, God wants to talk about money. Been here 6.5 years, and occasionally, this ain't no every week thing, God wants to talk about money. Now, what's so beautiful is because I don't pick it, and you know you've been living it. So he wants to talk about money today. So we can title this Money Matters, what, 4 or 5, what is it? Because whether it's Money Matters 4 or 5 or 6, how about this? Either way, money matters
still.
Money matters still. It mattered in the beginning. It mattered in the second time I talked about it. It mattered the third time. I think I got to a fourth at least. Money still matters. We ain't talking about no preoccupation for money for money's sake. We're not trying to talk about money that's going to drag you down into a ditch and ruin your life. But money matters. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 19 says, money answereth how many things? All things. Now, you got to read the whole verse to get the full context, but once you do, it's pretty clear. Oh, you want to read it for us, Brother Marcel? Let's do that for us. You got that booming voice. You don't need a mic. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. It's right after Proverbs, so it ain't far from where you just marked your Bible last week. Because if you hadn't noticed, we've been in Proverbs. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. What does it say? Mm-hmm. Yes. We're talking about money today.
Mm-hmm. Verse 19.
Yep.
A feast is made for laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And wine maketh merry.
Mm-hmm.
But money answereth all
things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, so we got some things to take care of some things. We got some things that can take you to a good place. We got some things that can soothe some things, but money answereth all things. It responds to all things. That word that's translated answereth, it technically, literally means testifies. So the lawyer asked the question, and the person on the stand, the testimony place, answers the question. Money answereth all things. Now, does that mean, therefore, that if you become preoccupied with money and therefore it will lead you to do anything for money, that's just going to answer the question, are you going to hell? That's not what we're talking about here. But the Bible does say that it answers all things, and God wants to talk about it. There's a popular rap back in the day. She says, more money, more problems. That you probably recognize this. And I can't tell you the words before or after it, even though I admit that I know the words before or after it. But it goes like this. I got my mind on my money. Finish it for me. But he said, I got my mind on my money, and I got my money on my mind. Because they're in that life about that's all about that paper. It's all about the what? Benjamins. All about the Benjamins, right? So we don't celebrate, nor will we stand behind the things that this song represents. But that doesn't mean that when he said, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind, that he didn't have a point. Because he was making a good point that we need to learn about this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Because if you don't mind your money, here's one thing that is true. You will end up having money on your mind. If you don't mind your money, Everywhere you turn, you're going to have money on your mind, the money you don't have. If you don't mind your money, this isn't me talking, by the way. There is a text. You're going to have money on your mind. Anybody have the testimony that because at some point you did not mind your money, you ended up having what constantly on your mind? Mm-hmm. So that we're going to talk about money today. Because you'll have money on your mind in a bad way. If you don't have your mind on your money. If you don't mind your money. You will absolutely, in a negative way, constantly, am I preaching, have money on your mind. So let's go to our text. Where in the world do you think it is? Isn't that something? Just still all up in there. But you'll be happy to know we're not in chapter 25 anymore. We're in chapter 27. And our text will be verses 23 through 27. Chapter 27, verses 23 through 27. What are we talking about?
Money.
Mm-hmm. Because if you don't mind your money, what will you have?
Money on their mind.
Who wants to have money on their mind all the time? The money that you ain't got. And all you got to do is mind your money. That's all you got to do. Because it's not like you don't haven't had money. It's not like money hasn't come your way. It's not like the answer to all those things has not come into your hands. But what did you do when it came into your hands? Or your pocket, did it burn a hole in it? Mm-hmm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does it matter if you mind your money? 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 Does it matter if you mind your money?
Yes.
You spent some days with money on your mind. You spent some, not just days, some spans of time. Because if you don't mind your money for this time, you're going to pay during that time.
Amen.
You're going to feel it. So let's read this text together, verses 23 through 27. Be thou diligent
to know the state of thy flock.
Yes.
And look well to thy herd.
Mm-hmm.
For riches are not forever.
Yes.
And doth the crown endure to every generation.
Yes.
And hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself.
Mm-hmm.
And herds of the mountains are gathered.
Yes.
The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field.
So I know that there's a lot here that's a bit foreign. It's not in your native language. It's, you know, it's not worded the way that we would word things. It speaks to an agrarian society, a farming type society. And so I know that we've got to bridge the gap as always. But even without that, you kind of get an idea where he's coming from. Now, this is in Proverbs. And Proverbs was written by Solomon, right? And it's part of the Bible, which means we believe it was written by inspiration. God wanted us to have it, right? It's God speaking to us. And its intent is to make your life better. In Proverbs, he told you. He lost his mind. And in Ecclesiastes, he begged you. Please, 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 pretty please. You all been studying Proverbs. He says, oh, listen to your father. Or listen to a father. Listen to one that's trying to give you this good knowledge. And then when he lost his mind and came back, he was begging, please don't do the stupid stuff. please, I told you so, does not do me any good. I get nothing out of it. I get no joy in I told you so. I get no joy in watching you bang your head. Look at the knots on mine. Is that enough for you, please? Could you just learn from my mistakes? Could you? But no question, in our development, the way our brains work, the way we're wired, for at least a period of time in our lives, probably into the 30s, we are cursed in a sense to just do the stupid stuff for the first time, even if somebody else had knots on their head. Now, if you're past your 30s and you're still doing that, you're special. And you need to pray for God to undo the specialness. Because you're special to it in His sight, no question. We are special in His sight. But if we're still hard-headed enough to make the stupid things, the stupid mistakes over and over again, or not to see the knot on somebody else's head, then you're kind of wasting what's supposed to happen if you get through a third to half of your, you're supposed to be better on the other half. You're supposed to then be able to avoid that stuff so that you're not so bogged down so you can give something to those who are coming behind you. Now, mind you, they're not going to use it most of the time. That don't mean you're not supposed to try and have something to offer. And then while you got it together, there's some who have gone way down that road. And so they have something even yet to offer you. Amen? While you're becoming one of the learned ones. So again, we have this agrarian example, and it starts out, you know, be thou diligent. Should that get your attention? When we study Proverbs, we learn in how to pay attention and not miss the most important words, because we get caught up in those sort of religious catchwords. He says, be thou. Now, notice, when you think about Proverbs, now, he says a lot of stuff, but he rarely gives you a directive. Now, remember, if money answereth all things, then if you mess up the money, you're going to be all distracted. You're not going to be able to handle the other things. So he says here, be thou diligent. Have you ever been diligent about anything in your life? That thing got done, didn't it? Might have taken a while, don't matter. You handled that business. And so he says, be thou diligent. We should really, really get, it should get our attention. And then he uses words like forever, so we should really be paying attention. So now a couple key points as we try to digest these few verses. First of all, animals in this context and in this social environment equals what? Money. See, we got that. Boom, done, right? So animals equal money. And I want us also to notice how this is written, this little segment. Notice that it's written like a sandwich. He gives us a directive at the beginning. He gives us the benefits of following the directive at the end. And he gives his reasoning and explanation in the middle. That's what he does. So we're going to try to eat and digest this sandwich. How about that? Amen. And we're going to spend the majority of our time on verses 23 and 24. What are we talking about?
Money.
Because we need to mind our money. So what? So we don't have to be having our money constantly on our minds. Amen. So we're trying to get free.
Amen.
Freedom. Amen. So as we look at verse 23, focusing in on it, be diligent to know the state, the condition. Be diligent to know the condition of your what?
Money.
Of your money. Be diligent to know the state of your money. How are the teeth doing? Is your hair okay? Do I need to put some meat on you? Are you walking straight? Are you falling over? Do you look healthy? if your animals are healthy, then they can handle the business that you need them to handle. Mm-hmm. So you would be looking at them, checking on them. So we know that this equals money. Amen?
Amen.
So be sure to know and consider well the condition of your what?
Money.
Amen. And pay close and careful attention to your what?
Money.
This is the Bible talking. So now here's something that's very important that we must get clear, because we're talking about minding our money so we don't have money on our mind. There is a clear and important distinction here between living paycheck to paycheck, which forces you to be constantly mindful of your money. Very big distinction between that and minding your money so you don't have to have your money on your mind. If you mind your money, you won't live paycheck to paycheck. There's a very big difference between having to have your mind on your money versus minding your money so then you don't have to have your money on your mind. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice as he brings us this text that in verse 24, he actually makes an assumption that we have some funds laid up. He starts out talking to you like you got kind of rich, or what you might think is rich in real life. For riches are not there forever. Anybody ever got a lump sum of money? Anybody ever had a chance to save up some money? Anybody had a little money in the bank? Either you took a buyout at work or you got a big, more than expected, you know, tax refund. Maybe you won a small lotto scratcher. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you've had some money come through your hands. So you had some savings, or you, however you got it, you've had some money. Amen. Despite this fact, Solomon instructs us to pay attention to our source of ongoing and future revenue stream. Ongoing and future source of our sustenance. He says, you might have a lump sum of money. Can I just tell you something? It ain't gonna always be there. Now, why does he have to tell us that? This is Proverbs now. Why does he think he needs to tell somebody that if they have some riches, if they got a little something, if they've got a chunk in the bank, that it's not going to always be there? Why does he need to tell us that? Because we don't know how to mind our money. He had to say that. It's not going to always be there because you might act like it is. We might act like it is, amen?
Amen?
So despite talking to folks saying that, you know, if you've got some riches, if you've got a little chunk of something, it's not going to always be there. So let's look at verse 24. Let's cover it real quick. He says, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? So he's trying to get you to understand that things that you think are going to be there forever, stuff happens, and all of a sudden, this dude that you thought he was going to be in control, he was just going to pass it down, it don't happen like that so easily. So it doesn't last forever, he's saying. So you need to make sure that you have a way of constantly replenishing your funds so that you can take care of the business that you need to take care of. He felt the need to tell us that. Amen?
Amen.
So what you have will not last forever. We need to know this. And in fact, the more you lean on it, the more you depend on that chunk of change, the faster it'll disappear. And when we have a chunk of change, let me just tell you the ghetto version of this. We will do stupid stuff that guarantee it goes away. If our decision making was bad before, it gets worse. It gets worse. We stop valuing, appreciating, grooming, taking care of, ensuring our normal stream of income because we got this thing over here. If you got a job, a good paying job, it's a steady job, and you get a chunk of money, you tell me why that money should go downward. Why should it ever go downward? As a matter of fact, let me step out of the ghetto. Let me just tell you what's going to happen with that money. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. But if you lean on it, if you assume it's going to be there forever, it messes up your decision making. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more you depend on it, the more you lean on it, the faster it will disappear. Amen? He's trying to tell us, don't be secure in it. But pay attention, close attention and care to the source of your ongoing and future income. Talking about money. I don't know about you guys in here, but hopefully somebody on the radio is listening to this and will get it and change your life. For most of us, what is our source of ongoing and future income?
Our
jobs, what he just finished praying about. So Solomon is telling you, you're not a farmer. You got any animals? You got any sheep? You got any goat? No. But hopefully, I think we all have jobs, right? Or at least we had a job, and now we get to reap the benefits of having that job. Am I right? That's right. Some gifts keep on giving. So we have our jobs. That's the source of our ongoing income. And Solomon is telling you and you and me to take very good care and close attention to make sure that the condition of that thing is excellent. Do we do that? I know we should appreciate it. That's great. How do you act like you appreciate it? Uh-huh. You go to it. You show up. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you, a job, you know, I know that we'd like to be the owners until you are an owner. Then you know how great it's not. But here it is. You take no risk. Listen to me now. You take no risk. You show up, and all you have to do is show up and do your job, and you get an annuity. It keeps on coming. It comes regularly. You don't have to think about it. You don't take the risk. You just show up, and literally, you get to stop having your money on your mind as far as whether it's coming or not. Somebody else gives you that kind of security. You tell me who's in charge. All you got to do is show up. And even if you don't produce as much as you did yesterday, you know you still get paid. The same amount. And you make no initial investment. Maybe you do an interview, fill out an application. That's it. You don't make any investment. They keep on paying you. Yeah, you show up, you do some work, but you know what? Guess what? If you don't show up to work, for almost all of us, do we still get paid?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's getting over on who? And most of us, it's built in. It's like if you have an investment and I'm going to get 6% on my money, and it's built in that a couple weeks out of the year, we're going to give you 10%. You don't have to show up. The money keeps coming. That sounds like a gig you should really be paying attention. Handling your, caring about it, caring for it, because you know how stressful it gets when that steady stream of income goes away.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. I'm gonna finish on time somehow. So let's say you don't handle that business. You end up potentially on the streets. Unless you don't, go back to their old sermons I just preached a few weeks ago. Oh, but there's somebody else that's going to catch you and bear the brunt of your fall that's going to enable you so you don't feel the bang on your head that you should feel. And then who takes on the burden? Who then has your money on their minds? So if you don't mind your money, there's going to be your money on somebody's mind, even if our knucklehead self don't pay the price. Now we're going to have somebody else bearing our burden. And all we have to do is mind our money in the first place. But what he tells you, he's not asking you to be some amazing entrepreneur. He says, take care of the thing that brings in your future and ongoing income. In his case, it's the animals. In our case, it's that annuity generator. Handle your business at your job. Have a good attitude. Show up. How about that? Not asking a lot. Have good work habits and be productive. All this so that we can maximize the health of our animal equals money. This is simple stuff. So maybe we get an education. That's one way of maximizing and enhancing and grooming that source of steady, good income. Great work habits, attitude, all these things. These are things that he's basically telling you. He could have just said have a good attitude on your job, but he wouldn't say that because they didn't have jobs like we think of it. You didn't have a place where you could just fill out an application and smile and look good and smell good, and then they're just going to pay you constantly. Didn't quite work like that. You had to go into bond servanthood. Amen? Amen. Now, we're still going to be focused here on verse 24. I want to talk about double dipping. Tell your neighbor, said double dipping.
Double dipping.
And the multiplication principle. When you talk about your money, do you like subtraction? Do you like addition? Do you like division? Do you like multiplication?
Yes.
Do you like exponentials?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go. I mean, how does that happen, though? It don't happen on its own. Amen? I'm going to talk about double dipping. Now, let's look at the illustration he gives us. It's animals, right? So if you take good care of your animals, here's a couple things that will happen. Number one, then they will be able to be healthy and they'll produce the milk. They'll produce all the stuff they're supposed to. But you know what the other thing they also do? Yeah, they multiply. If they're sickly, they're not going to multiply like they're supposed to. So if you handle your business, if you have your mind on your money, if you mind your money, it will multiply if you mind it. If it doesn't, if you don't mind it, you'll get subtraction and you'll get division and you'll wonder how you got there. Are you listening to me? So these animals, there's a reason why he's supposed to be taking care of these animals. You will get the most out of them. You will get the most for them when you sell them. If you do a good job, you handle your business, you have a good reputation, you've been productive. Now when it's time to sell yourself, somebody else will probably be your best advertisement. It's the same concept. If you mind the source of the condition of the source of your money, you are better off in the future, not just to ensure that source, but to ready yourself for betterment. I'm just giving you what he said in my own way, amen?
Amen.
And they multiply. You get more healthy animals. Good money after good money gives you more money. And it just builds on itself like a snowball. And the other way works just the opposite. It just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And if you don't handle your business and you don't have a job, it's harder to get the next job. If you handle your business and you do well on the job, it's easier to get the next job. Can we just get a little momentum in our lives? Can we make two decisions straight, good. Can we just do that? Let's just make two good decisions in a row. Do two good things in a row. Instead of making a bad decision, and then, oh my God, we're in a situation, and how do we deal with situations? Do we face it, deal with it, gut it out, and get to a better place, or do we make another bad decision and end up in a worse place, and then we got excuses, and then we got other people with headaches for what we did? We're just trying to have positive momentum. Somebody say positive momentum. Because your money can have positive momentum. It's going to have positive momentum, or it will have negative. Very few people will sit in neutral when it comes to money. Amen?
Amen.
So your money should multiply just those like those animals. That's how you ensure. See, the fact is you have the animals, if you don't tend to them, they're going to die. No more animals. What are you going to do? So now we're talking about double dipping. Banks double dip on you all the time. Now, if we're silly enough to think that if we have a savings and debt, that we're on point. If we're silly enough to think that, let me just tell you how that works. Right about now, you're getting 0.01% on your money. And if you're lucky, you're getting 0.03%. Let me just tell you, you won't tell the difference. And you got a credit card. And it's got a balance on it. And they're charging you way more than a 0.01. If you just think, I want you to think about the difference, the multiple, 0.01. You gotta multiply by 100 just to get to one. Now multiply that times the interest rate. So if you got a 17% interest rate card, it's 1,700 times more than they giving you. Woo, that's a way to get rich off of crazy people. That is a way to get rich. So guess what? I got $100 in the bank. Woo, I got the savings. And I got $200 on the credit card. We just doubled what I just told you. I said 1,700. Now you're basically 3,400 times. So that's fine. I'll tell you, I'll give you 3,400 of my dollars and you'll give me one. There are folks with multiple five-figure dollars in the bank getting a dollar a month in interest. There's people with hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank getting maybe $20 a month, $30 a month in interest. The bank double dips on you. They double dip on you. They take your money, if we're crazy enough to give it to them that way, and they give you nothing. And then they'll suck you into, we'll take a little step up. I'll give you a little bit of interest, but I got to hold on to your money for a certain period of time. You know why they want to hold on to your money? Like, what are they doing with your money? Don't be mad at the bank. Because you know what? You could have done the same thing. As a matter of fact, here's it. The same bank, actually, if we're talking about B of A, for instance, they have a program. You can move the same money over here, and you can invest it instead. And we let the money sit there at 0.01. Got your mind on your money, so you don't what? Have to have your money on your mind. They double dip. Right in front of you. They literally rob you in plain day. Woo, all right now. So we can also flip that script. How about that? We can double dip too. Eliminate any non-home purchase related debt and put the system to work for you. Are you okay with that? Do you work hard for your money? Make sure your money works hard for you. At 0.01%, it ain't working hard for you. People were surprised. My kids were surprised. I was looking through all my papers. I think I told you this already. I was going through my papers, my old pictures and cards, and went through some high school stuff. And in my economics course in Jefferson High School, in the ghetto, they had an exercise where we had to learn how to invest in the stock market. And I actually have that paper today from 1979. That whole, my graphs, my explanation, everything, my summary, my analysis from 1979. I still have it. My daughter has seen it. My son has seen it. So they tried to tell us how to have your mind on your money so you don't have your money in your mind. I worked for Coca-Cola back then. If I had bought Coca-Cola back then and just put $100 on it, it's a lot of money now. And don't be fooled about the prices because there's stock splits along the way. So you can't go, but, oh, it only costs this much. No. It would have been like Berkshire and Hathaway, $312,000 per share had they not split. So you got to know what you're dealing with, but it ain't that hard. It really isn't that hard. We work hard for our money, do we not? Let's have our money work hard for us. Quickly, 25 through 27. The hay appears and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered. They come to you easily and you can use them to feed the lambs that are for your clothing and the goats for the price of a field. You can sell them for to purchase a field or to pay the rent on your field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for food. It's telling you it's going to be all right if you do this. For the food of your household, not just you, and for the maintenance of your maidens. So the grass and the hay, of course, feed the animals, and they replenish themselves. And the rest of your money should do the same thing. If you handle your business, the animals will multiply. And all of your needs will be met, and all of your family's needs will be met, and those that help you in your endeavors, their needs will be met. If you mind your money, so you don't have to have money on your mind. So we work hard. We pay Uncle Sam. We don't need to also work for the banks and the credit card companies. Really? You got to work hard for your money. You should. And you got to pay Uncle Sam. But you don't have to double down on it. You don't have to help them double dip on you. You can, don't be mad at the oil companies. Own the oil company. Because when they charge you too much, they have more revenue and they have more profit. So their stock goes up on the bank, on the oil company. You remember when they had all those SUVs? I think it was Bush told us to do all those SUVs and the prices went up for some reason. They made money hand over fist. Stock price went up like that. Instead of being mad at the pump, just say, I tell you what, I'm in there too. And you can walk away with all the money and everybody else is mad. Mind your money. That's all I'm saying. I was looking at something the other day. I know I got to finish. Walmart needs money. Walmart. There's a bond for Walmart. They're willing to pay a nice chunk of change every month in dividends for you to loan them money. It's not an astronomical amount of money, but it's way more than 0.01%. 100 times just to get to 1%. So if they pay you 3%, that's 100 times 3. That's 300 times better than how we're doing right now. Now, if you got bad debt, pay that first. That's the best investment. Stock market, maybe you can make 100%. Maybe sometimes you lose. Maybe you make 10%. But you know, if you got 17% debt, pay it. It's the literally, it's like putting your money somewhere and you make 17% on it. If you pay that money on that debt. So let's put industry, let's put the banks, let's put all these folks that rob people blind, let's put them to work for us. I could go so long, if you got a credit card and no balance on it, they'll let you have their money for a month for free. For free! You can go make money off of that and then pay it off and you made money. That's what they do. That's what they give. They take your money and it's pretty much free, isn't it? They give you jack. They're making money. That's why insurance companies, you know why Warren Buffett's so wealthy? He said, free money is called insurance. They pay me up front and maybe I have to pay them later. That's how he finances whole wealth. Just make it work for you, but the depression happened and it was because of the stock market. It's not the vehicle, it's the lack of knowledge. All that stock, it fell apart because of margin. Margin in the stock market is where you borrow. People were overextended. They were borrowing to get this crazy. So the borrowing, the loans came in. The market started going down. Uh-oh, you don't have enough to cover your margin. Uh-oh. Anxiety, a run on the bank because the bank don't have all the money that you gave them. It's out there working in the field for them. So they don't have it. If you all show up, it's not there. I'll stop. Man, I really have so much I want to tell you, and I can't. Money still matters. So here's the thing. Put the money, you know, look. Make sure you handle your business at the job. Don't spend all of it. Put the rest of it to work so you can double dip. You got this great annuity. They're so silly. They pay you for almost nothing. And it comes guaranteed. They take all the risk. And then you don't spend it all. You put it over here, and now you're making money off of what you're double dipping. It's a beautiful thing. Guaranteed source of income. Just like your money when you give it to the bank. It's like, I'm going to make this, and then keep giving it to me. You can do this. You can flip the script. Flip the script. And just like Rockefellers, you could be living off of the proceeds of your money and never touch your principal. So let's put God first. Give him his, because let me just tell you, that is the most important thing. Your life will fall apart. Trust you, me. Work hard for an honest living. Handle your business, please. Appreciate and cultivate the blessing that your job represents and the opportunity. Don't spend all that you make. Avoid bad debt. Anything that's not associated with your house. And why does that matter? Only because of the tax deduction. If it ain't for that, even that is not a good buy, by the way. You pay more than twice what you think you're paying. So you're not guaranteed to beat a renter. You're not guaranteed because we sell up and then we waste all that money and we are losers in that process. So make your money work for you. Solomon's trying to help us. Let's get a little hand praise.